your default priorities are not necessarily your priorities. That's why it's important to study, to sit down and ask yourself, what do I really care about? Because our default priorities are not genuinely our priorities. Because our default priorities are, like you said, the path of least resistance. That's not really where our priorities lie. Your priority is not to have a seafood diet, but it's the default. It's the easy.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have my awesome co-host, Tammy B, here with me.
What's up, Ken?
So, I always do this, and you always say it's my show. What should we talk about, Tammy? Let's hear your ideas so I can agree or shoot them down.
I'm reminded of the wife who says, which outfit should I wear? And then the husband picks one and she picks the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that, when I was like a kid, I used to go, I play this game like, well, if it lands in this hand, I want this. Or if it lands in this hand, I want that, something like that. And then it always seemed to land in the wrong hand. So I guess that kind of tells you what you wanted, right?
It does. It helps you choose. Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Why do you have to play like a little game like that? And then why would a wife do that to the husband? Put
well,
him on the spot.
It's helping her. It's the same thing. It's helping her make a decision. Just even though you didn't know that as a kid, you were doing the same thing. You were helping yourself make a decision by playing that game. The wife is doing the same thing. By hearing some kind of a view, now she has something to compare and contrast with. And she may or may not choose the exact same outfit. It's not, has no disrespect to the husband and his opinion. It's just, it's literally giving her a fixed point around which she can compare her choices, which is exactly what I think we should talk about
today.
Well, I know that for you, one of your life philosophies that's super important to you is that you live according to your priorities. And many, many times people kind of bumble through their life just trying to survive and trying to field the punches that are coming at them. And they don't stop and take stock of what their actual priorities are. And here you are with one of your life philosophies to not only know your priorities, but to live according to them. And I think this relates to so many things that we're dealing with right now.
You know me pretty well. What are one of my top priorities, Tammy? Educate me.
Oh, well, gosh. I think one of the listeners can respond easily to this one. And that is Kaizen, I know, is like of supreme importance to you. It's your probably, I wouldn't say it's number one over Sweet Danielle and Max and Lauren, but it is a high priority in terms of constantly improving yourself.
Yeah, that's incredibly important. Yeah, I agree. That's one. What's another one?
Well, the care and the love of your family, of course.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
I would also say, And then I'd also say educating your clients, taking care of your clients, doing whatever you can for them. In fact, prior to us recording, you were talking about how when COVID hit, your priority was to reach out to everyone. What financial advisor does that? Impromptu, just checking in, making sure that they were okay. I also know you have a priority of your health, where you work constantly, you're thinking about choosing what you eat. You may not always choose the way you want, choosing how to spend your time, getting up early, whatever, doing what you can to exercise and maintain a healthy lifestyle. I know that's another priority.
That is a priority, but you can tell through my actions, not this year a priority. Boy, if I fall off that one. So, but anyway, I have a knife, fork, spoon
problem. It wasn't too long ago that you had like, I don't know, it was like 6 weeks running or something like that of working out consistently. Exactly. And then
I was doing great. And then I never talked about my podcast about a year ago. I think this whole COVID thing hit way, way sooner than we've been told. But, and I wasn't going to say the word COVID, the religion of COVID. I think it was about a year ago. It's this weird thing. I was suffering with vertigo really bad. Mm-hmm. It took forever and it went away. But yeah, I was doing really good during this pandemic, training down in the basement. And I started this new routine and then it came back. It was weird. So it like floored me a little bit. But anyway, priority wise, yeah, it's important. But I think my wife who watches my actions, I definitely have a knife, fork, spoon problem. So I know others have a gland problem. Mine's a knife, fork, spoon problem. So the seafood diet just does not work. Doesn't work. That'll be my diet book that comes out as the seafood diet. And
explain it seafood, to us. What does that entail?
Well, you know what the seafood diet is, right?
I don't think I do.
You see food and you eat it?
Oh, I knew it was probably something like that, but I could not wrap my head around what it could be. I love it.
There's actually, this is a trading term by this, and not that I've really studied Japanese. I don't know much about culture or anything, but it just seems like some of the words I really like really gravitates like Kaizen and those principles. But also from a trading standpoint, there's something that's called Harami, H-A-R-A-M-I. And when I used to do a lot of trading for myself, intraday trading, et cetera, that all stopped, by the way, in March of this year when our Federal Reserve and Treasury nationalized it, in my opinion, because I just don't understand the game right now as far as personal trading. It's just such a weird animal. But there's something that's called Harami, which I believe in one terminology means, well, one way it means pregnant. Another means, I believe, like, oh, I might be saying it wrong. I'm going to look up the terminology, but one is like you eat to 80% full.
Oh, okay.
So with the seafood diet and how I went off on this tangent on priorities, I told my wife, whatever you put in front of me is what I eat. So if you put something small, like a little baby carrot, that's what I'll eat. But you know, if you put like this massive steak in front of me, I'm going to eat it all because it's right in front of me.
Yeah.
And so there's kind of this philosophy that's really helpful, like eating wise is, you just go to 80% of full. And just on that philosophy, it's amazing how good a shape you can get in.
Right? Sure. Yeah.
And I'm not a diet expert. How a finance show just turned to that's beyond me. But anyway, yeah, priorities. So yeah, you got it down. Other than on the health and fitness one, my wife, I think, would argue with right now, just through watching my actions. Ice cream just tastes so good at night. And it's amazing during this whole COVID pandemic and watching the presidential debates, this whole, you know, it's amazing how one beer becomes two beers right? And then ended with a nice little extra drink. So it's not, that's an exaggeration. It's not so bad.
You were trying to numb the pain of the debate. That's why.
Oh gosh. I mean, well, so yeah, so I'll mention a comment about the debates and then I'll let it go. But the first debate, very painful for me to watch. I was like, that's great. We all lose. Watching the behavior, you know, here's whoever wins, whether one gets reelected or one wins. You know, it's kind of like, oh, don't talk about politics, right? My dream, I don't want to be polarizing. I would just say that very disappointing that whoever's going to be leading this country just in behavior and presenting themselves. My four-year-old son, I want to be a great role model, an example for him and how you interact and work with people. And my gosh, man, it's having, you know, the most, potentially the most proud, you know, the leader of our nation and in many ways the world, because we're such a dominant country at this time, the behavior was not a good example of how, you know, for a child or anyone. I mean, if someone's speaking and you're arguing, and I get it, it's one big power grab and the debates are to win points, right? That's politics. Like, there's just this weird disconnect. And I absolutely believe you have to be a narcissist to want to be in politics and go through the attacks, just all of it, right? And so anyway, that was just a nightmare. It was such a train wreck to watch the first debates. I can't stand it. And of course, I know you didn't watch any of it because you're smart.
That is true. I did not. I don't know about the smart part, yeah, but I mean, I am self-preserving.
it's very painful. I mean, it's just like, I mean, really, this is the example we have for everyone.
Right.
It's crazy. Not letting people speak, everyone talking to each other, everyone getting their jabs in. And I get it and I don't get it.
Right.
So, but it's sure not. It should definitely be, in my opinion, rated R, mm-hmm. or real close to it as an example for kids on how to behave. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah. So what are we going to talk about today, Tammy?
I like my idea. I'm going to stick by my idea.
We'll restate it one more time so it's ingrained in my brain, because you're the conceptual one. Problem. I'm Mr. Analytical. So I struggle on this stuff. So let's say it one more time and we'll go after it.
I think, first of all, identifying your priorities and then identifying actions and decisions to back those up.
Yeah. I mean, as you're aware, I mean, right when we're starting the show, so I stopped the recording. You know, as a client of mine, I made an effort to reach out to all my clients during this pandemic, and it was just killing me. I realized a few weeks ago, I missed reaching out to one. And then like every time I try to get on my cell phone or I'm in the truck or in between meetings to reach out, see how he and his family is doing, it just hasn't occurred. And right when we're starting the show, he called. I was like, oh, stop. So right. So it's just teasing. I was, hey man, you're on my podcast right now. But obviously that won't be on the show. And so, everyone that I represent, my company, I only represent them because they're my 4 for 4 and ideal clients. I don't care about income streams. I don't care about wealth. I don't care about any of those pieces. If it's a person that I like, a family that I like, a business that I like, and they like me, if they're people of integrity and they love to learn, they crave more knowledge, and then 4, they're going to go apply it. They're going to take that next step and work with me. I'll pull them along and they take action. I'll work just as hard as they are. Now they really work harder. They're doing all the work, right? I'm just helping and guiding. That's my ideal client, 4 for 4. And so every time my phone rings, it's a client. There's never, and now it took me a long time to establish this. I mean, and I think I've done an episode, you know, identifying your ideal client. I don't know, it was this year, last year. But when I first got in this industry at the end of 08, man, I would help everyone.
Sure.
But, you know, a lot weren't ideal. I mean, my gosh, just helping people get auto insurance so that they could drive again. You know, they need that transportation to go to work. I mean, I have people, so I don't want to be judging this. I just want to help people. I don't want to get in the way of anyone's income streams. And I'm going to help people within the rules and laws. But people who would make a mistake at these DUIs, you know, or need what are called SR22s. I really had people coming in, a few people, randomly coming on a bicycle because I needed to get some insurance to show that they could drive again, right, with the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles.
Right.
That's a mouthful. Right. I'm going to write a book. Never mess with the DMV, man. You want to talk about a kangaroo court. Don't mess with the DMV. They will own you. So, but yeah, I would just help anyone, everyone, but it's like, gosh, man, Danielle, I mean, she's my wife we've been together for a long time. So before marriage, I mean, she saw how much I cared for others, but it was not necessarily reciprocal. I would get, and so you can imagine this, there's some just really not so nice people and me just blindly helping everyone, like, just cause I didn't like them, but I wanted to help. Does that make sense? There's good people out there, but you still don't like them. Have you ever had that, Tammy? You like everyone, but have you ever met people like they're a good person, very respectful, they work hard, whatever you admire in people, but you still just don't like them?
Yep. You see the need and you want to fill the need. And you think of that, you see that first typically, and then you get to know a little bit more about the person, and then you can start to identify what you do and don't like in service. And that's actually a priority of yours. You've identified over the years the types of people that you love to work with. And now it's a priority of yours that you stand by, that you're discerning with your clients.
Yeah, each one gives you energy, right? Energy back and forth. And so you both walk out of a room elevated, or both feel good after the conversation over the phone or in person. I mean, it's just a great way to live, I think, a better life, a higher quality of life. And it's a spiritual thing for me now too, right? It's just fun that way. Right. Not that you don't go through some tough times. I mean, the more you care about others, you kind of live vicariously through their pains too. And so that can be a little challenging, but still a much more rewarding life. And my gosh, 08, 09, I'd have people call me Saturday night because I would tell clients, I said, I'll do anything or anything to help you, but I do not babysit your bills. I'm not doing that. Right? I can't do that. That's not possible. And I'm not going to own it. And so, but I have people calling, like, just, it was like 1% of the clientele back then, but was 99% of the problem. And I get called Saturday night, all livid because it was my fault they didn't pay their insurance bill in the mail. And I'm like, well, A, I'm not the insurance company. And B, I don't read your mail. So, but I still would be upset about it. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, so we learn, right? And so I just look it back. It's amazing how we grow. I was thinking about this again at lunch today, where I'll have these flashbacks of how I behaved in a certain situation. And I was like, gosh, man, I was such an idiot. But it's like, at the same time, it's like, thank God I can look back 5 years and 10 years and recognize the growth that has occurred, because what a vapid life if I can't look back and realize and see any mistakes. Like, everything was so perfect when I was 2 years old. I didn't make any mistakes when I was 5 or 10 or 15 or 20. So I love it when you watch politics, they bring up what a politician or someone did as a business owner, as an individual 30, 40 years ago. Really? Well, they probably made a lot of mistakes, but not necessarily a failure, because they learned from it and have grown and improved. What? Yeah, I mean, you just expect everyone to come out of the womb perfect? Give me a break. I mean, we're humans.
Yeah.
And as a pretty sharp guy, a rep in the alternative investment space, I was talking to him recently, and I know this sounds a little strong, but it's interesting hearing his perception. I mean, when we're humans, but we're animals, right? And so we're just going to, and there's not much of a difference. And that's why, to me, my takeaway, though, is we got to really work on what makes us human is our humanity. And the fact that we can negotiate and work with others and adapt, that's the good side, right? And you got the lizard brain side, which can be very, very dangerous. Anger, fear, greed, really dangerous, right? So, but anyway, I don't know how I went on that whole tangent, but ideal client. So an ideal client calls because, and this has happens all the time. It's also why I'm very passionate about teaching to clients I'm working with, most boring topic in the world first, typically, if the timing's right for them. And that's talking about auto insurance. I mean, we've done at least one episode talking about auto insurance. Like, oh, this is great. Everyone's going to stop listening to this show because I'm going to talk about the importance of auto insurance. Like, mine comes up in 2 months. Can't wait to cut that check. And that's sarcasm. And I hate it. But it's a great way to leverage a small amount of money relative. It's actually a fair amount of money. But for a huge return if something goes wrong. And I hope to never have a claim. But a family I've been working with for a couple years, I mean, just had a massive accident. Thank God everyone is alive. But, you know, this is also why I don't deal with the auto insurance companies anymore. He's nervous because he doesn't know what to do, right? He doesn't know. And so, and I've yet, when I was helping, when I was writing and doing and selling auto and home insurance years ago, you know, I never had a client call because they were afraid they had too much protection.
Right. Yeah.
It was like, hey, do we have enough? Are we protected? What do I do? And so it creates a lot of uncertainty. And these insurance companies have the best of the best attorneys in this whole area. And they like to solve and push fixing claims very, very quickly to get it off the books. And I can tell you, especially when there's injuries like bodily injury, that is an unknown. They hate uncertainty. I mean, if they get a claim for a $50,000 car, whatever, $5,000, $10,000, they'll cut those checks so fast, just be done with it, right? It's just a car. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to bodily injury and people getting really hurt and pain that might endure for years, it scares the hell out of them. And they try to close it up pretty quickly from what I see and experience. That's usually not do you think that's in the best interest of the property and casualty insurance? Think that's the best interest in the insurance company, or do you think that's in the best interest of the client they're representing?
Insurance company, for sure.
Probably. And so, but the thing is, I will stop. I really care. It's something to me, priority-wise. It's very important to me. I don't care if it doesn't pay me a penny. I just love being able to help out in that area. I think that's who I love about. As much as I hate the financial industry, this is the part I love about the financial industry. And that's the relationships I have with my clients. It's the opportunity to share my stories and ideas on this podcast. And I don't know if we talked about last episode, but that article came out with Vox. So I'm going to have to, I can't remember if I talked about it.
Yeah, you mentioned
week.
It, but tell us more.
Yeah, it was a 30-minute interview.
Right.
And I'm like one little tiny sentence with some pretty big names in the industry. So I was like, hey, that's fun. So I think I did probably mention it last week. I can't remember if I talked about the episode, told you about it off air, or told my wife about it.
Good point. I'm pretty sure we did have it while we were recording.
Oh, we did talk about it?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I mean, it was great to be reached to be reached out to to get my take on it. And it's interesting to see its alignment with some other well-known names in the industry. So that was good. So I guess I'm patting myself on the back again twice now if I brought it up last week. but anyway, like the part I love about the financial is just getting to help.
Yep.
And whether it be through media or be through a telephone call, be in person, sharing some of my long-winded stories sometimes, but my stories, you know, that I have dealt with and how it applies to money and finances, and then diving into the weeds, especially when I do my monologues thing. I'll get into the weeds. And there's a lot of stuff that if it wasn't for all the rules in this industry, boy, would I love to way get into. But that I say for my one-on-one conversations in meetings and with clients, because, yeah, it's just litigious society, unfortunately, and this is a very regulated industry, and you would think it's for the protection of the investors. I think that was the original intent. I don't know how much it really accomplishes, but it's a very regulated industry, and so you got to be careful what you say on this type of medium.
And I want to point out too that the client that you were just mentioning, where we stopped the recording so you could take the call, he had made a priority for his family and reached out to a trusted advisor, i.e. you. And so when something did happen, something bad and unexpected happened, he not only had the insurance in place, but he also had a trusted advisor in place. And I, when you were done with the call, I genuinely felt grateful that he had you in his back pocket, because I only heard your side of the conversation. But he clearly was considering, you know, making a decision. And you said, nope, not yet. Hang on. Let me get done with this. I'll call you right back. Let's talk about it. Let's figure out your options. So good for him, because he figured out what his priorities were ahead of time and put the people and the resources in place so that if something did happen, which it did, he would in that moment not only know whom to turn to, but have coverage to protect himself and his family.
Yeah, what's interesting is he didn't call an insurance agent, he called me.
That is interesting.
Yeah, so, but tell yeah, him. I like to be there to help and stuff. So that's a huge priority for me. And also when it comes to financial strategies, I was talking with a client earlier today at New York, say, hey, let's just visit the most boring topic in the world, auto insurance. And, I have found, I would say it's at least 95% of the time when I'm going over that stuff with clients, most agents don't educate. Most insurance agents, right? That's all they do is sell auto and home insurance. They sell a product, but they're not providing, I think, an important education that comes with it. And if you read through these declaration pages or into these policies, these contracts, it's a lot of language, right? It's a lot. And I think being able to provide that type of education really helps out. When you provide that kind of education, it helps the client become empowered. They're educated and they can make an educated decision on how they move their dollars. What else do you want to talk about, Tammy?
I think his story was just an interesting one. And I think it's something, like I said, especially in times like this, it makes people stop and question, you know, do I have the stuff that's in place? Do I have the trusted advisors in place? So I think it's just a good opportunity to remind your listeners to, you know, if you're single, if you're totally by yourself, then sit down and figure out your priorities. If you're in a couple, in a family, as a family, you should sit down and figure out your priorities. And across the boards in everything, it's a great opportunity to do that. A lot of people are kind of stuck at home. You've got maybe some extra time. If not, take the time, because stuff like this is going to happen. Obviously, 2020 is a perfect example of that. And so it's just a great moment to ask yourself, what are my priorities professionally and personally? And am I living in such a way that people could point at me and say, this is their priorities, and be accurate?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, Tammy, because this is your whole wheelhouse. I'm just like, I just absolutely love numbers, right? I love designing. I love troubleshooting. That's the stuff that I just have so much fun with, right? I don't think you ever had a deal or watched the boredom when I track the markets, right? But it's just relaxing to me. It's great. One thing, when it, this is like a human psychology thing, and it's like when it comes to priorities, a lot of people, and I was making fun of myself on my seafood diet, my knife, fork, spoon problem, is like, what is it that we're humans, it's just we naturally like to take the path of least resistance. People, when you watch through actions, like to the movement of money and how things are structured, you learn really quickly what people's priorities are. I mean, through actions,
right?
So, so for example, something can be very important, but it might not necessarily be the easiest thing to do. So for I was talking to a family yesterday, helping them, walking through the funding process of will and trust, like the trust side, how to properly fund and the different entities to, now I'm not an attorney, I'm not a trust attorney, but just giving, you know, help of where to go on those areas mm-hmm. and what to go to. To just make sure it's wrapped up. It's not an easy process. I mean, creating a will and trust, I love helping families with that whole piece, with other trust attorneys, mm-hmm. That whole process. But it's not easy. It's a lot of organization. It's a lot of thinking. It's a lot of getting your house in order. It's a lot of work. And it's for something that you hope doesn't kick in for until you die, which you hope is a long, long time from now. And so you got to really, how do you know it's a priority, but how do you get it so that you create the energy to get it done? Does that make sense? Yeah. So how do you make it so I think you have to tie emotion to it.
That's a good point. I would agree. In fact, I was just talking to a client this morning who she and her husband are, because of their various entities, they're both business owners, are they're both kind of in a chaos right now, trying to, you know, keep their business afloat, pivot, all that good stuff. And their life is consequently in turmoil over it. And she was noticing that typically only one of them is in turmoil and the other one is kind of able to help provide perspective, but they're both in turmoil right now. So it's hard for them to help each other. So what she pulled on for her husband is reminding him of his why, reminding him of the reason why he's doing what he's doing, which fortunately she knows. And that goes to your thought about tying emotion to it. If you have, and Simon Sinek, of course, talks about it. If you have something that you're super passionate about and you're able to tie that to a new habit, an action, whatever, then you're going to do the work almost without thinking about it because you're so focused on the reason why. I remember you talking about a tennis match that was coming and the work that you did, and I might be kind of misremembering the particulars, but the work that you readily put yourself through, the discipline, the regimen that you put yourself through because you had this particular match in your head.
Oh yeah. That was forever ago now. I mean, that was before my little guy was born. And so I guess my priorities weren't that important. I just wanted to get invited to that USDA Grand Prix. And so I just knew to get invited. I had to compete in so many tournaments. I knew I had to win or do really well in them to get enough points to get invited to that tournament. And so then, yeah, that was mm-hmm. the priority. And why it was so important to me at the time, I just like winning. It's fun. Like I do like competing in a good way. I think in a good way, it brings out the best of everyone, right?
Yep.
And it's fun. And so anyway, yeah, that at the time, that was a big priority to me. I just want to get invited. And then when I got invited, I just wanted to win the damn thing because why not?
Right.
So, and then I won it. And I was so proud of myself, but that was forever ago now.
but the outcome of you doing that, it got you into really good shape.
Oh yeah. It was fun. It was a great time and it's nice. It's like, gosh, I'm starting to try to get into golf now because some of my clients really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And a long time ago, I used to enjoy it. And so I was like, I want to get back into it. But hey, if I'm going to play this game, I don't want to suck at it, right? so that will become a priority to, it's all about setting expectations. Right now, it's like, okay, I'm not throwing my club. I'm not going to throw my club. And I don't want to, and I'm not going to slow down the game, right? I'm just going to have fun, not slow down the game. And if I can find more balls than I lose, I'm doing great. So
that's awesome.
So it's all about, so that was a priority. And, and then of course, my little guy was born. I just, everything was him, right?
Right.
Sure. Making sure my wife was, when I learned she was pregnant, I was like such a worrywart, right? Mm. And so I just want to make sure she was super healthy. He came out super healthy. And then just trying to, be the best dad possible, right?
Yep. So there was definitely emotion attached to both of those goals. Even when you were talking about playing golf, the emotion of shame is motivating you right now because you don't want to be ashamed because you either throw the club or because just do terrible, lose more balls than you gain, whatever.
Yeah, I think it was like, it was just recently. I was like, okay, my whole goal is not to throw my club. Well, I guess from that goal, I won because the other three all threw their clubs within 18 holes. I'm pretty sure I had the highest number, but I didn't throw a club. So that's good.
Yeah, that's right.
I always joke, I don't think golf's a sport. I think it's kind of like a disease because it's just like you can become addicted to it. I don't know why, but it is. I remember the first time I showed my wife how to chip. This was a long time ago. I was teaching her how to chip. Mm-hmm. And like her first shot, I don't know, we're like 20 yards away or something on this practice area. And it went right in the hole. And she's like, oh my gosh, this is easy, right? So the next 30 hits, she realized not so easy, but it was pretty fun. It's like her first shot goes right in. How cool is that? But priorities. Well, what else? I mean, how do you get, you have to tie emotion to it, right? Mm-hmm. That was the thing I'm trying to figure out is I just, emotion. You see why people buy these fancy cars or not a fancy car, but there's usually emotion tied to it, right? It's something mm-hmm. that whether you know it's going to bring you joy. I mean, I like seeing cool trucks and boats and sports cars. I love all the engineering and all the work behind it and the thought. And a lot of them are just beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. I'd argue that Tesla truck, it looks pretty impressive. That thing isn't beautiful, though. I mean, it's so ugly. I guess you could argue this new Tesla truck is beautiful. But but yeah, I mean, and so those type of things, it's like joy, happiness, anger.
Yeah.
I know in the past when I felt I was way overweight, I mean, actually initially anger drove it, an embarrassment. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, I'm not going to, for me, I just got angry about it. I don't want to be out of shape anymore.
Yep.
But I think I do know, like with the Woodland Trust piece on priorities, because that is, it's a lot of work to wrap up. It really is on the families. You got to do a lot of deep digging. You got to do a lot of thinking and probably not fun planning your death.
Mm.
Not fun.
Right.
But what drives consistently when I talk to families is because someone close to them went through it.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw the pain their friends went through or they recently went through it with a family member. And it's like, I ain't going to have my kids go through that.
Yep. That's right.
And so that emotion, that pain, right, is what drove them to get it done and to grind through it.
Yep.
And and that could be applied to anything on priorities. I mean, I guess like finances, a lot of times people, you see all these great success stories. Like it seems like this consistent thing, like, people who, maybe not all the way across the board, but some people have really accomplished a lot in life. You see it like as entrepreneurs and then financially. Usually they're like have hit the bottom of the bottom and they just don't want to get back up again.
Mm.
Like they're done.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, something hits them and this energy comes from within or from outside of them, where all of a sudden they just take it to... it's like enough's enough. And then they get this incredible work ethic and insight and some really impressive success stories. And thank God we still don't have too many hurdles in this country that's still doable.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
And, so it could be fear, anger, greed, all of it, but it seems like emotion and then tying it to that priority is what gets us to take action. And then one of my friends who's he's an electrical engineer, client, he was telling me weeks ago that we're humans, right? We take the path of least resistance.
Mm-hmm.
But what he'll do is that he realized if he takes that extra energy now on something that isn't the easiest thing to do, he knows in the long run it will be for sure the path of least resistance. Mm, right,
that's right.
You get the pain dealt with today, it's going to be, well, I like this term all the time, I work with my assistant on it, you know, this, I want this, I call it, I want like this one consciousness through the company so that it's mine, like water, like everything just flows effortlessly.
Right.
And so when working with clients, we try to remove a lot of the sticky points so that they can accomplish a lot very rapidly within a few months.
Yeah. Nice.
And with actually, when it's all said and done, it feels like way less effort.
Yeah.
Than what has existed years prior.
Yep.
So, no, oh, look at that. Didn't know what we were going to talk about. Just let you run it, Tammy. Good job.
The other thing I think that's key to all of this is the vision capability, where you're looking down the road, and you just described that really well, where you're looking down the road and you're saying, this is how I want to feel. This is the emotion I want to have. So I think that's also important when you're trying to motivate yourself to do something, is think about that end result and really focus on the end result. And that's what my client was doing with her husband this morning or yesterday, whenever that happened. She was helping him remember what his end result is that he's working for. And it sounds like it was effective. It brought his head up out of the mire and got him focusing on what he really wants, which is powerful for a lot of reasons. It's good because then you're hopeful and expectant instead of frustrated and beaten down, but it also guides your steps. When your head is up and you're looking at where you want to go, you can see now the steps you need to take to get to that point on the horizon. Whereas when you're boggled down into the weeds, you can't see those steps and you're just trying to survive. And we often make really bad decisions when we're in that place, which is exactly where your client was. But because he had you, he was able to reach out to you and not make a bad decision because he already had put in place a trusted advisor.
Yeah, which after the show is my first phone call. Hey, was it you who bought it for me to fix the sprain? Or did you just tell me to go buy it? As a Man Thinketh by James Allen.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, we are what we think about, right? And so yeah. That's why I always joke recently about happiest time this year for me during this really tough year, 2020. I mean, just what an upside down world. 2.5 weeks of no news was the happiest 2.5 weeks this year, right? So, and unfortunately, news is just all about, it seems like pain and suffering and anger, right? How often do you see something really fun on the news? Well, you wouldn't know because you don't watch it.
Indeed.
But it's interesting. So yeah. Money's energy. And if you watch how money flows, you know what? I think on last week I said I was going to talk about gold and silver.
That's right.
All right. Well, maybe next week.
I forgot about that too.
Yeah. Something real big. I'm going to try to see if I can get it happen next few weeks is still try to get someone to come on. Apparently, these people that call themselves cryptocurrency experts really aren't cryptocurrency experts because they won't come on my show. I don't know why. All I do is ask questions. I want to understand what they're thinking. Oh, so sure. I'm sure I'll get someone really good soon because I don't think I'm very intimidating. I just want to have a discussion, especially what's going on with our currency and monetary policy. How could gold, silver, cryptocurrency play into all that? Or at all.
Right.
And, but anyway, I don't know why I brought As a Man Thinketh, but putting ourselves in our priorities and following money. Watching how your money flows and how you spend it in your budget. Right. Mm. And I know that's a horrible word, budget, but watching how your money flows can give you, can be one nice indicator of your priorities.
Yep. And your seafood diet example is a really good one. Your default priorities are not necessarily your priorities. That's why it's important to study, to sit down and ask yourself, what do I really care about? Because our default priorities are not genuinely our priorities. Because our default priorities are, like you said, the path of least resistance. That's not really where our priorities lie. Your priority is not to have a seafood diet. But it's the default. It's the easy.
Yeah, it's just like, gosh, why do they make ice cream taste so good? I'm not into candy or sugar, except ice cream. It's like got to be the most addictive. They ban cocaine, right? I've never been into the drug thing, thank God, because I'm sure it can be incredibly addictive. But I think the ultimate drug's got to be ice cream. That sugar, man, that ice cream tastes so good. Why do they make it taste so good? And what I'll literally do is I know what I'll feel like 20 minutes after I eat it. Mm. So I will focus on that sensation. And if I focus well enough on that, the outcome, it'll keep me in check on eating ice cream. But gosh, if I ever had my brothers come on the podcast, I could tell you stories of people have been amazed in the past when they come to visit how much ice cream I'll eat. It's like, oh my gosh, man, I can't believe you just ate that whole thing. It's like, yeah, but it's so good.
It's hard to stop.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, thank you, Tammy. So we'll talk a little bit about, I think, gold cryptocurrency, I hope, within the next month. And we'll see what else we have for the show. But I think it was a fun topic. And then weave it into today. I also think it's an important topic we'll talk about sometime within the next month or so. And that's a topic called negative selection bias. And hopefully I'm saying it correctly. Nice. I'm going to give some really good examples and how that can really influence people to make the wrong savings and investment decisions because of negative selection bias. And it's used very, very creatively. I think it's a very good, I think the financial industry from the marketing angle uses it very well to control and manipulate, I hate saying it, their clients. Very dangerous, or the clients they're trying to attract. Anyway, I'll talk about that sometime soon too. So recap title again, so I get it perfect.
Okay, cool. Knowing your priorities and following them.
Yeah, knowing your priorities and following. If you want to see a whole bunch of stuff, please go to my website, engineerfinance.com. You know, I got some fun blogs. I got some fun posts. There's an opportunity for accredited investors that if you want to join the Green Machine Investment Club, you can click on that button to apply and we'll talk to see if you qualify. And you can also subscribe to my newsletter, which is the snippets from the Engineer of Finance, where I say something clever, at least try to say something clever once a week about what's going on and my take of things when it comes to the financial industry. And you can learn more about Joey, the T-Rex and the Bankosaurus. And I loved it. I'm reading a book this morning. And I have as a bookmark some of my older business cards, and it's got my logo at the top. So Maximus gets up, and he just immediately pulls the bookmark out. It's Joey, and he just yanks out. Well, buddy, that was my bookmark. And he goes, yeah, but it's Joey. And then so he was hanging out with my business card as he ate breakfast this morning before school. If you want to learn more, and if there's any topics you want to talk about, anything you want me to bring up, please don't hesitate to reach out via you can call my office or email and bring up some ideas. I mean, just recently, one of the listeners of the show, oh, by the way, Tammy, I know we got to wrap up, but it was great. She said that she disagreed with you she says, hey, Ken, it's the first time I disagreed with what you had to say on your show. I have to disagree with Tammy. She said the opposite of you. So you said llamas are better looking than alpacas. And she says, I have to disagree with Tammy. Alpacas are way cuter than llamas.
For sure.
And then she sent a picture of the alpaca that was riding in the car with her. I think she was helping out a friend. Yeah, so it was a great message. So you can reach out to me on anything and everything.
Oh, cute.
And so I got a great picture of alpaca modeling for me. So it was good. Thank you, Tammy B. Love it when you're on the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this podcast. And if you think I can create a lot of value for others, please share it with others that you like and look up to. And I look forward to next week's show.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.